This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
David Caplice is one of the men behind the music here in Australia, having managed some of our top acts over the years. He joins us now on Joy 94.9. Good afternoon, David.
G'day, Jono.
You've been in this business for a while, as sort of the man behind the big stars, managing some of our biggest names and working with a lot of Australian talent. Give us a bit of a background about how you got into this business.
Well, firstly, I'm fortunate to have represented great talent, because as a talent manager, I'm nothing without the people that I represent. I first started probably 17 years ago now, when I met a very young quartet of singers called Human Nature, and I discovered them out at an RSL club way out West Sydney. They were doing like a 1940s and 50s show, and even though it was one of the corniest things I've ever seen, they were very good even back then. You know, they had their harmonies and their shtick and their whole show together. So I signed them on management, and then that led me into three very tumultuous years with Bardot, and the Popstars series. And then from there, I was fortunate enough to work with Australian Idol for 8 years, managing all the talent, Guy, Shannon, Jessica, through the 8 years of that show, and that led to X Factor. And in that time, I also represented David Campbell, Katie Noonan, and I survived the Young Divas. So it's been an interesting 15, 16 years.
Well, look at where Human Nature are now with their Vegas shows. So popular and so successful.
Yep.
So you signed them. They didn't come off a talent show, obviously, but when you were working with Bardot, they were obviously the first group to come off a TV show. That now seems to be all the phenomenon of music shows. And if you want your name out there, we've got The Voice, we've got X Factor, we've got Idol. Do you think that's changed the music business over the last 17 years that you've been involved in it?
Definitely. It's definitely changed the way people discover talent, and in a way, the way talent can be discovered. I don't think it's the one and only solution, though. I think ultimately songs and talent are the cornerstone of our business, and there's nothing ever beats a great artist coming out of left field with a song. Like, remember when you first heard Gaga, Just Dance?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It just blew in, and, you know, she is who she was today. Now, that's not taking anything away from the talent that we've discovered via television, because I always say this to the young artists that I represent on these TV platforms, that, you know, the exposure you're getting is wonderful now, but when the show finishes, the music has to come first. The song is king, and you have to get down to what the music business is all about, and that's music.
Is that hard for a lot of stars? Because if you look at these TV programs, a lot of stars come off them and they have their number one single and their number one record. But then a year later, to maintain that momentum and that career is very difficult, because there's a new round of the TV show that's come along and there's a new star. So is it quite hard for them to sort of maintain the buzz?
It is hard, because a lot of, again, and I say this with all respect due, a lot of the people who enter these talent shows are just good singers. And they're not, and there's a big difference between a singer and an artist. And therefore, when it gets to that point where the TV show stops and the majority of that viewing audience drops away, it then becomes about artistry. It becomes about songs, image. It becomes about fascinating the market with those traditional tools. Now, a lot of these people who enter the shows are not equipped for that, and therefore they diminish quickly.
You're on Joy 94.9 with Jono, and we're very well pleased to have in studio today David Caplice, who's worked with some of Australia's biggest artists. Now, David, here at Joy 94.9, we love supporting Australian music. We've had many of the acts that you've represented through the doors for interviews. My next question, though, is more about commercial radio in Australia, because this is my opinion. I don't think that Australia is very good at promoting its own talent. If you look at people like Shannon Noel, Anthony Kalia, even Darren Hayes, all of them have had massive airplay and chart toppers in the past, but now anything new that they release, they struggle to get airplay and they struggle to get that same momentum behind them as what they've previously had. Have you got an opinion on that?
Look, my opinion is that I've never been critical of radio or the way it programs, because I think contemporary hits radio does exactly that. They play the hits of now. Now, there's a saying in the music business that you're only as good as your last hit. Mm. And I think that's an important – it's not necessarily entirely true, but it is important to take note of that expression, because I think the onus is on the artist to continue to come up with quality contemporary music. And it's music that will get them on the playlist, not the fact that they're Australian, not the fact that they're whatever. It's all about the song. So I would have to defer that question and say it's the artist's responsibility to make music that matters and that music that gets on the radio.
You've managed some of Australia's top talent over the years. What happens when a manager and artist don't get along or don't see eye to an eye on an issue? Who wins?
Well, that's a good question, yeah. Jono. It's look, it happens all the time. There's always going to be, as they say, creative differences or perhaps a difference of opinion in terms of a strategy or a vision. Most times, if the relationship is healthy, through debate, discussion, it'll get worked out. And it always needs to get worked out in favour of the artist, because we are dealing with artist careers here, not the career of the manager, the artist career. And the simple rule is, if the artist is successful, then the manager is successful. We can't do it without the talent. So, you know, there are some I've had situations in the past where they haven't resolved, you know, and tensions have got deeper and the relationship erodes. And unfortunately, that happens in every part of life. You just can't avoid that. Relationships, particularly creative relationships, are challenging.
You've been doing this for a long time and you've worked with some great people over the years. Is it a fun job? Do you enjoy it?
I love it. I absolutely love it. And, you know, this is what actually brings me to Melbourne. This is why I'm down here talking about these Rumble workshops that I'm doing.
Well, I wanted to get onto that, because you are bringing a workshop to Melbourne called Rumble. And this is teaching people about artist development. What's someone going to get out of the day?
Well, the reason I did this is that a couple of months ago I've had a creative alliance with Warner Music for the last year. And we decided to do a national talent or a series of national open talent searches. And at those searches, I was inundated with questions. You know, people were asking me, how do I get a record deal? Do I need a manager? Should I audition for a music television talent show? And so the more people asked, the more I realized the need to host these Rumble workshops. And in those workshops, I'm going to deal with questions just like that. You know, I'm going to work with talent. We're going to look at their sound, their style, their image. We're going to do everything in that workshop to help improve their artistic proposition and give them a real serious shot of graduating into the game.
When you're looking at new talent, is it difficult or sometimes a bit painful to have to sort the crap from the credible? And what I mean by that is, like, Leo and myself, we get a load of independent artists sending us through their tracks, wanting them played on Joy, and I know our program manager does as well. Sometimes you just got to go back to them and say, look, that's not good enough, and sorry we can't play it, and go back and try again. Is that you find that a bit difficult? Or
no, I don't, but I always try to remain compassionate because everybody's trying their best, and when you are creative and you open yourself up, you know, you're correct. A lot of the times people aren't hitting the mark, and you do have to be honest with them so that they can take that honesty and they can learn from that. I think if you sugarcoat it, it's good for nobody.
This is Joy 94.9 with Jono, and very pleased to have in studio today David Caplice, who's managed a lot of Australia's biggest artists. David, I wanted to just ask you, who you're working with at the moment?
Currently, I've been working with two artists, a new signing to Warner called Bobby Fox. Mm-hmm. Now, Bobby, you may know Bobby. He was the lead singer in Jersey Boys.
Okay, yes.
And we've signed him and we've made a fantastic record. And the other artist I'm managing is young man Harrison Craig, who won The Voice this year.
We all know Harrison Craig.
Yes.
How different is it managing, obviously, two artists, one that's come off musical theatre and one that's come off a TV show?
Well, I see the challenge exactly the same, because the end game here is to take Harrison's work and Bobby's work and create engaging records and videos that the audience and the market will like. So whether, regardless of where they've come from, I like both of these artists because they come with a fan base. You know, Bobby comes with that really enthusiastic theatre crowd, and then obviously Harrison has that wonderful national voice audience. But again, you know, we're now talking about the music business. We're not talking theatre. We're not talking TV. We're talking music. And both of those artists now must deliver compelling music to keep the faith of their fans and win new fans.
Let's finish off by talking about some other artists that are making headlines at the moment. Elton John recently said of Miley Cyrus, and I want to know if you agree with this comment. He said, the whole purpose of the VMA Awards, when you get all these big artists competing against each other, is to flatten the opposition, and Miley flattened the opposition with her performance. Would you agree with that?
I would agree with that, and actually Miley's performance has been a big talking point amongst me and my peers. I was intrigued to know what people's response to that performance was. You know, I know a lot of people took objection to it. Look, my personal opinion was that I think Miley Cyrus is a very brave and a very talented young artist. In regards to that particular performance, I liked the fact that she made a statement, but I felt it was a clumsily made statement. I think that, you know, you get a girl like Gaga and Katy Perry and Rihanna in particular, they use sexuality and sexual politics very cleverly. Miley Cyrus, she's just young. She'll grow into a wonderful pop artist, and I think she'll look back at that performance and think, well, I accomplished what I set out to achieve.
Which was a number one record.
Yes, but maybe I could have done it with a touch more style.
Perhaps so. Now, what advice would you give Justin Bieber if you were managing him? Because I'd give him a big slap of reality.
Well, I like Bieber. I think he's talented. He's extremely cute, you know, and I think he's got all the elements of a, you know, he's a massive pop star. You know, it does seem at times the ego's out of control, but you've got to put yourself in his shoes too. You know, he's 18, in some ways he's king of the pop world. You know, we don't know what sort of guidance he's getting, but with all things considered, he's not too out of control. I think onwards and upwards for Justin, and I hope he continues to make great music.
And finally, One Direction, sex appeal or musical appeal?
Well, I just saw the crowds outside of Crown. No, actually, I would say both.
Yeah.
Because I think One Direction exploded because of that wonderful What Makes You Beautiful. Incredible song. That first album had some incredible pop songs. So that really brought them to the worldwide attention. Then you noticed how cute those five boys were and how great their haircuts were. And that has sort of taken over now. But that's just the natural course of things when it comes to pop. But it started with music, so you've got to give them that.
If you want to become as big as Miley Cyrus, Justin Bieber, or One Direction, you know where to start. And David is running some workshops to tell you how to get there. The workshops are called Rumble. Just give us a little bit of information on how we can find more information on them.
Okay, so with the Rumble Artist Development Workshops, you go to www.rumblepop.com. Go to that website, check it out, register. Then I'm back here in Melbourne mid-December. I'm doing two workshops here. And as I said before, those workshops are a day event, and we're going to work with talent, young and old. Anybody who's serious about taking their skill set as an artist to that next level and hopefully breaking into the music business.
Fantastic. And if people want to find out more information, you're on the web.
I'm on the web. You can go to my website, www.caplicemanagement.com, and again, www.rumblepop.com.
Thank you so much for joining us, David.
Good on you, Jono.
This is David Caplice on Joy 94.9. We're back in just a moment.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.